I'm Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. I'm pleased to welcome today Dr. Engineer Stephen Abela, who is head of the Department of Metallurgy and Materials here at the University within the Faculty of Engineering. Just a few words about Dr. Abela's career so far. In 1998, having graduated BN Johns and after 6 years of technical experience in heavy plant maintenance at Enel Malta Corporation, Dr. Abela was first employed with the University of Malta. As a research engineer with the Department of Metallurgy and Materials, his duties included the setting up of a heat treatment and surface engineering workshop for Surface Engineering Limited, funded through the 6th Italo-Maltese Protocol. During this period, Dr. Abela received extensive training in Italy at Vacuum SPA, in the field of heat treatment and material testing, and also received additional training in the field of material characterization and tribological testing at the Technical University of Clausthal-Zellerfeld, provided by Professor Barry Moerdijk. Amongst other things, his duties involved conducting industrial research and assisting postgrad students in their work at the department. In 2000, Dr. Abela became an assistant lecturer, and lecturing to undergraduate students was added to his duties. From 2001, he was extensively involved in the technical issues related to the design of nearly every research proposal, and I know that there were many, and fund request applications, or originating from the Department of Metallurgy and Material Engineering, under the leadership of Professor Maurice Grech at that time. This work included the identification of the most suitable type of equipment for specific projects, provision of feedback on the feasibility of projects, and the determination of the technical specifications for the equipment which would have to be acquired through the project. The most important example is the ERDF Project 12, about which we shall be speaking. In June 2007, Dr. Abela obtained his doctorate, and at the beginning of October of the same year, he was appointed head of department and also project leader for ERDF 12. Welcome, Dr. Abela.
Thank you.
We're going to talk today about this ERDF Project 12, which is, I was sort of looking through the specifications of the project, extensive, wide-ranging, and in fact, the name of it is the setting up of a material testing and rapid prototyping R&D facility. And that sounds quite a tall order to me. Can you tell us something about how the project originated and why?
This project, funded under the ERDF scheme, which is the European Restructuring Development Fund, actually originated at the time of the Italian protocol. We managed to get a substantial amount of money to buy processing equipment, but we lacked characterization. I mean, if you're doing research and you don't have any means of analyzing the outcome of the properties the outcome of the processes you're doing, it's like working blind. So for some time we had to spend a long time traveling from one country to another in order to have access to advanced characterization machines. And, of course, that has significantly limited our capacity to conduct research and also the accessibility of such technologies to our students. So at that early stage, we had already identified our weak spot, and we were only trying to find ways and means how to fund the acquisition of this equipment. Of course, because of the capital required, that was not possible until Malta accession into the European Union, and the ERDF scheme was the best way how we could get this equipment. At the same time, another department, the Department of Manufacturing and Engineering, was having the same problems. They required rapid prototyping equipment in order to research new technologies with which products can be developed in a short time. We originally applied individually for two separate projects. And during the initial stages, we got feedback from the PPCD. They suggested that if we joined the two projects together, we could offer a more complete service, both to our students and to the local industry. And we agreed to this proposal because it made a lot of sense. So we moved forward to this new ERDF Project 12, which now is capable to produce a lab which can provide extensive services to the local industry and students alike. So we can produce very complex components, and we can analyze the outcome of different processing steps in one go. So,
and these ERDF funds, in fact, are, because one hears these acronyms being sort of thrown around, it refers specifically to equipment, to capital expenditure on solid things rather than courses or whatever. It's for equipment.
Yes,
it?
Yes.
Or buildings.
Training and courses can be funded through the ESF fund, but ERDF is intended for either the upgrade of existing infrastructure or the acquisition of new equipment.
And the equipment that you got, obviously without going into great technical detail, what kind of equipment were you able to actually purchase through these funds?
This project was a bit tricky because the original objectives were to cater for our research needs, of course, but also for the industrial needs in Malta, which is quite diverse. So when Professor Greg asked me to find a range of equipment which is satisfy both, was quite a daunting
task.
And in fact, originally, my first proposal was a couple of million more than we actually got. So we had to do a bit of compromising.
A bit of trimming.
So, yeah. So we went for the most common equipment that you find in materials lab, like X-ray diffraction. We're trying to get state-of-the-art X-ray diffraction facilities, which can do both bulk and surface analysis on materials. We're also trying to acquire an electron microscope, something which was lacking for a long time at the university. Some mechanical testing, fatigue, impact, tensile. Of course, we had those in the past, but the machines that we have are 20 to 50 years old, which have very limited capabilities, and some of them are no longer in operation. So this was a desperate upgrade. We are also getting new, very advanced characterization techniques like low-energy electron diffraction and atomic force microscopy, which utilize the very latest advances in physics. And these can be used to practically anything. We can analyze things ranging from DNA up to metals and artificial polymers. So,
you mentioned before the fact that you were trying to please a lot of people, in the sense that you were trying to make these this equipment. I mean, after all, it's not easy to find the money, as you're saying, to get the equipment. So you wanted to have an equipment that was going to be of benefit to various people, the university, to industry, to your students, to your, you know, who would you feel is benefiting from this expenditure at the end of the day?
When I was specifying the equipment and I was thinking of ways and means how to use this in order to maximize its benefit to the country, after all, I realized that whoever is going to use the equipment, I mean, even if it's the local industry that is going to benefit from this, this will invariably involve our students, because our industry at the moment does not have the capacity or the know-how to make full use of this technology. So what we'll be doing is we will be conducting projects in collaboration with the local industry. Our students will be exposed to these industries, and at the same time they will be using these technologies. So it's the intention is not to have the local industry dependent on this laboratory. We want to teach people how to make full use of these new technologies, help the industry to develop further, and then maybe they would be in a position to acquire the instrumentation they need to proceed further in their activities.
Because in fact, we talk a lot these last few years of trying to encourage Malta to become an R&D venue rather than simply a manufacturing of a set product venue. And it's not that easy to do. It requires the kind of equipment that you're talking about, which requires a lot of money.
Yes.
But it also requires a mindset on the part of the industry themselves.
Yes, yes.
Do you think that industry in Malta is now sort of waking up to the idea that its R&D is going to be absolutely necessary for the survival in the future or not?
Well, some of the established industries are still keen of thinking that they will keep on doing what they do, and maybe some way or another they will get subsidies and survive. But most SMEs already now are trying to collaborate with the university to develop new products. They are applying for funds, research funds, and we're getting a lot of requests for help from various small industries. These will be the first to suffer from competition. Of course, even some of the big industries are hurting now, so I think in the near future they will have to change.
Yes, innovation is going to obviously be the key word. Before going into that a little bit in more detail, I'd like to remind listeners that this is Research Matters. I'm Patricia Camilleri, and today my guest is Dr. Engineer Stephen Abela, Head of the Department of Metallurgy and Materials. We shall be participating, the university will be participating with Malta Enterprise, with MCST, with the our ministry which takes care of R&D, the Ministry of Resources and Rural Affairs, in a fair in Paris in June. And the key theme there is going to be R&D, innovation and SMEs. Clearly in Europe, the SMEs are being acknowledged as an extremely important part of the industrial system. And perhaps because the SMEs are smaller, they are perhaps more versatile and flexible than the larger industries. Is that right?
There are some few areas in which a large industry can strive in Europe, and this are those industries which involve the manufacturing or the production of very high value-added products, in which the wages are not such a big factor in the price of the final product, and they can also invest heavily in automation. However, the area in which Europe can strive and in which it has practically no competition from emerging countries is innovation. I mean, the development of new technologies has for a long time has happened exclusively in the US or in Europe, with very little innovations coming from Asia, apart from Japan, of course, which is another stronghold. a period of 10 to 20 years, we might have some leeway. But it won't take long for these countries to catch up as they become richer.
Yes. Going back to the equipment that we're going to be using at the university, do you feel that the university is key to this? What's the role of the university within this area of innovation, and what role is it going to play?
Traditionally, research has always been at the forefront at universities. So our university can contribute significantly for the well-being of this country by getting more involved with the local industry. I mean, we have to convince the people out there that we can collaborate. I mean, it's funny, we're getting all sorts of proposals from companies and institutions all over Europe, especially when they heard about this project and start to receive CVs and all sort of requests for collaboration. But we haven't got any from Malta or Maltese companies. So this can either be due to the lack of knowledge or to lack of confidence. I hope it's the first of the two.
Yes, we can talk about that marketing of the products perhaps a little later. The students that you have in your course here, I mean, the engineering students, I always consider them the very bright ones. Your course is proverbial in its difficulty, and I think that the students you have are usually the first class. And certainly, when we send our students abroad to do post grad, they always come back having really made a mark. Mm-hmm. What would you say about the quality of our students?
If we compare the quality of our students with students coming from other universities, external lecturers that we get, although they have no interest to do so, always affirm that our quality is substantially higher on a undergrad level.
When you're talking about the use of this equipment, of course, yes, our undergraduate students would probably benefit in some way or another. But really, it will probably be the postgraduate students that will be most closely involved in this kind of in innovation and in design and this sort of thing. So, what are we doing? Are we doing enough to encourage our students to continue their studies?
We are getting a lot of requests from students for opportunities to conduct postgrad studies. Unfortunately, the funding available is very limited. So, and I'm not talking about funding in terms of raw materials and supplies, which is substantially limited as well, but also these people would need wages. I mean, they cannot spend 6 or 7 years forking out money, because very, very few people can do that. So although we get the occasional one or two persons which are willing to spend 7 years without pay, living at the expense of their parents, but that has substantially limited the availability of postgrad students.
Because we don't have the mindset, perhaps, here of the postgraduate student who is like sort of who does perhaps tutoring work or something like that, and or paid work. Mm-hmm. We don't sort of have that tradition here, do we, for postgrads?
There is a limitation, because first of all, in order to employ students, you need to have a budget to do that. So we don't have enough money to do that. And apart from that, even the local industry doesn't have the necessary funds to pay for students to spend a long time here.
It's always a combination of
because what of you things. Find in other countries, sometimes students get scholarships from companies, or sometimes big companies give a substantial amount of investment for the development of new products. This cannot happen here, because either the companies cannot afford it, which is most often the case, or they're just not interested.
But here we do actually do things in connection with industry. I know that I've heard about certain things, design that we're doing within the university, mm-hmm. In conjunction with industries. I think a lot goes on, probably, that we don't shout about very much, possibly for various reasons. Yes. I mean, I know that I'm thinking of a particular design, which I was so pleased when I found out that we actually had designed it ourselves, but I was told, no, you can't sort of say anything because it's something with a third party and there'll be IP issues and all this. Yes. So sometimes we have to hide our talents under a bushel.
That's a problem that I had with surface engineering. I mean, I've been doing research for surface engineering for almost 10 years. And I could only publish maybe 3%. Most of the research I've done, I cannot even talk about it.
Yes, this is really a problem. I realize that, and of course it's a pity, because if you can't shout about it, then people are not going to know about it. And in fact, that's the other point that we were making before about the marketing of ourselves to industry, to the students out there. How are we actually reaching these people who really are the ones who are going to be wanting to use our services, wanting to use this equipment which we've spent so much money on?
I think it will happen twofold. The first and quickest way is through dissemination. We'll have to produce brochures, we'll have to send informations, we'll visit local companies, and we'll try to sell ourselves the best we can, which is part of the project itself. I mean, it's part of the dissemination program. And on the long run, the students who will be collaborating with industry, and we're starting to do, we have already two interesting projects going on with students actually working at the in the industry premises, developing their ideas for once, not the existing project. These students will ultimately, if they're successful, be employed with these companies. So the knowledge acquired during their projects will not be lost. It will grow with the experience of this person, and the industry will benefit from this knowledge.
In fact, we can give a blast to the engineering final projects exhibition, which will be coming up in the beginning of July, where we showcase our final year projects of our final year students, some of which are really outstanding. I think they're very, very interesting, very problem-based projects. I think those are really worth coming to see, so I recommend people come over.
I'm always surprised what the students can manage to come up with, considering the amount of money available.
Yes, they have a very limited limited budget, but it's always has produced some really interesting work, and we produce this brochure, which again showcases the abstracts and diagrams. It's always a very interesting experience. Dr. Abela, you're now head of department. Mm-hmm. And I always consider the Faculty of Engineering as a sort of very dynamic institution. I mean, it should be, particularly in that area, we've been talking about innovation, we should always be looking at our departments and always also almost on a permanent basis looking forward to seeing how one can improve the structures. How do you feel, you've just have a few minutes to talk about this, unfortunately, how do you feel that you've been able to sort of move on? What changes have you made? What changes would you like to make within your own sphere there?
One thing which always puzzled me, and sometimes when you're looking at things from a different perspective, you don't get the any idea of the full impact of things. I was always puzzled why different departments do not collaborate between each other. As soon as I got the headship, I said, I'll try to involve our department a bit more. I started to approach different departments and see how we could collaborate. there was the Department of Industrial and Manufacturing Engineering, which was looking for ways and means how to improve the degree program. And there was the Department of Chemistry in the Faculty of Science, which also wanted to provide better services to our students. We've identified a vacuum in our country, which is industrial chemistry. And together with Dr. Sinagra, we have launched a new course, which is Chemistry with Materials, which will hopefully produce a new breed of scientists, which can work closer to industry and corrosion problems, which is a very serious issue in Malta, and also the development of materials. We have also developed a new course with the Department of Manufacturing Engineering, which is the industrial bachelor's in industrial engineering. And this course is richer in management and materials than it used to be before, and of course in manufacturing, which will provide the necessary skills for people to start new SMEs, will give people the know-how how to manage small companies, not just how to work in established firms.
Well, yes, that sounds like an excellent, excellent initiative. Well, thank you very, very much, Dr. Engineer Stephen Abela, for coming to talk to us about the Department of Metallurgy and Materials.
Thank you.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.